الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم.
Respected elders and brothers, when a person exercises the muscles of the human body, then if one has to analyze and examine all the various types of exercise, you'll arrive at the conclusion that in essence there are two types of exercises. You see a person doing press-ups, doing sit-ups, doing squats, lifting weights. This is one type of exercise, and all these exercises involve moving the muscle. But then you get another type of exercise which is completely opposite, where the exercise involves not moving. Now you think of a person who goes into the golden chair posture and is trying to hold that posture. You think of a person who's going into the plank and is trying to hold that very, very difficult posture. His muscles want to move, but despite the want of the muscle, he just restrains it and he holds it in place. Now, bearing in mind, this is not a forum to discuss exercise, but the point is that Allah Ta'ala has given us a muscle in the body which is very, very small. This muscle has very great potential. Potential to do good and potential to destroy. That is the tongue. And when we look at the tongue, then like every other muscle in the human body, everybody is exercising the tongue all the time by moving the tongue and speaking and speaking and speaking. But the other type of exercise is the exercise that is lacking, the exercise of restraining and holding the tongue and remaining silent. And this is a far more difficult exercise when it comes to the tongue. For us to understand how something so small can be so destructive, a person looks at the atom bomb. The atom bomb is not very large, but Allah Ta'ala placed such destructive potential in that atom bomb that that small atom bomb can obliterate an entire city, an entire region. Yet we find the potential of the tongue is even greater than that. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. At times a person utters a statement. This statement is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it pleasing? There could be different ways it is pleasing to Allah. For example, he was going for salah. He saw his neighbor. He told his neighbor, I'm going to the masjid, join me. That neighbor got tawfiq and sat in the car with him. Those few words he spoke, inviting that person to the masjid, very pleasing to Allah. Maybe there was a person who was very, very angry. He was about to commit zulm on somebody. You went and you spoke to him in that moment and you calmed him down. Through calming him down, you prevented the zulm taking place. You told him, my brother, just take it easy, calm down, have a break, we'll see about the problem later on. You defused a delicate situation. These words were greatly pleasing to Allah. Maybe he was a person who was very, very depressed, very downtrodden. He lost all hope. You spoke to him for a few minutes, you gave him hope. Don't worry, it's not the end of the world. Look, this person was in a worse situation. Alhamdulillah, he came out of the problem. That person was even worse off than you. Look how Allah Ta'ala helped him. You gave this person himmat, you gave him courage. These words are so pleasing to Allah. Maybe there was a person who was struggling in his business. You gave him a few words of advice. You told him, why don't you try this other supplier? He's got a better price. You gave him business advice, but in that way you made his life easy. You helped a person. You helped a fellow brother Muslim. Now at times, these few words that we speak are so short. They are concise words. Just a few breaths and we speak. The vibration of the vocal cord, not even much effort required. But it made such a big difference in a person's life. It was so pleasing to Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you utter a statement, it is pleasing to Allah. La yulqi laha balan. You do not even give a second thought to the statement. You said what you said and you carried on with your life. You never even thought about it again. You don't think anything big of what you did. Yet the statement was so pleasing to Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتِ. On account of the statement that you uttered, Allah Ta'ala is escalating and raising and elevating your rank in Jannah. This is the power of the tongue. A kind word, an encouraging word. A word to reconcile between two parties who are fighting. Sometimes people are at each other's throats. You came and you gave some advice and you defused that whole situation. You caused reconciliation between brother and brother, between husband and wife. So pleasing to Allah. You just spoke a few words. But it is so pleasing to Allah, this becomes the means of your rank being raised in Jannah. But conversely, the tongue is a double-edged sword. The tongue is a double-edged sword. How it can cut against you, it can cut you as well. If a person misuses the tongue, that tongue can become the means of his destruction. In the very same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ. At times a person utters a statement which is a cause of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe he humiliated somebody. Maybe he slandered somebody, spoke unfounded, incorrect facts about somebody. Maybe he ran somebody down behind his back, what is called backbiting and riba. Maybe two people had a very good relationship, but you carried a tale about one to the other and you caused that relationship to break. Whatever the case may be, you're standing to break that promise. This is a cause of the anger of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La yulqi laha balan. The person does not attribute any importance to his statement. He doesn't think anything of what he said. He spoke it and he forgot about it. He met somebody, he addressed him with a derogatory nickname that he does not like. Maybe a person is very, very fat. He can't help it. He does not like attention to be brought to the fact that he's oversized. And now you call him by a name that highlights this quality of his. You called him that name which is hurtful to him, which is haram in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, La tanabazu bil alqab. Do not call people by names that they do not like. You called him this name, you laughed and you carried on. You didn't think twice about it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned and said, Yahwi biha fi jahannam. On account of this one statement that you uttered, you didn't even think twice about it. This person is plummeting headlong and is sinking deeper and deeper into the abyss and the depths of Jahannam. That is why another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned and said, May yadman li ma bayna lahyayhi wa ma bayna fakhidayhi adman lahul jannah. Whichever person guarantees me that he will safeguard. Rasulullah is speaking about two pieces of flesh of the body. You look at a person's body, 80, 90, 100 kilos. These two pieces of flesh, maybe 50 grams, 100 grams, Allah knows best. One is the piece of flesh between his jaws, the other the piece of flesh between his legs. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, guarantee me that you will safeguard these two pieces of flesh, I will guarantee you Jannah. What is the reason for this? Because these are two avenues where people slip and commit errors the most. It is either through the sins of shahwat and zina, or it is through not being cautious in regard to the usage of the tongue. One sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, inna fulana tudhkar min kathrati salatiha wa sadaqatiha wa siyamiha. O Nabi of Allah, there is a certain woman, and it is well known, it is renowned among people, that she engages and exerts herself in a lot of nafil sadaqah, a lot of nafil fasting, a lot of nafil salah. She's outstanding in the department of nafil ibadah. They said, غَيْرَ أَنَّهَا تُؤْذِي جِرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا. But there's one bad quality in her. She harms her neighbors with her tongue. In other words, she does not know how to speak nicely to people. She's hurtful in her speech. At times people are vulgar in their speech. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not vulgar in his speech. Vulgar speech is not the quality of a believer. Some people take pride in how nicely they can swear, as if this is also an art to be mastered. But a Muslim should keep his mouth clean of all types of vulgar speech. Vulgar speech is not the quality of a believer. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say in regard to this woman? So much of nafil salah, so much of nafil fasting, so much of nafil charity. But she speaks badly to people. She's harsh in her speech. She causes pain to people's hearts the way she speaks to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned and said, "Hiya fil nar," this woman will be in the fire. So my respected elders and brothers, the crux of what we are mentioning today is the grave importance of safeguarding the tongue. And in regard to the tongue, there are just two departments we wish to touch on to today. The first is when a Muslim gives his word and he makes his promise. A Muslim must understand that that is something very, very important. It is a very, very grave sin for a person to make a promise and break that promise. Yes, one is a person makes a promise in all sincerity intending to fulfill the promise. Later on, there was some unforeseen circumstance. He became sick. He had a car accident. He had to take somebody to the hospital. Now we completely understand this was unforeseen. In that situation, if he cannot fulfill the promise, he must inform the person and he will be excused by Allah. What we are referring to is where a person makes a promise, but at the time he makes the promise, he already knows, I'm not going to fulfill this promise. He's just speaking these words to placate and make somebody happy. But already he knows that he has no intention of fulfilling this promise. In the Mubarak Hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned and said, "Ayatul munafiqi thalath." There are three signs of a munafiq, of a hypocrite. As far as a believer is concerned, if he has any of these signs in him, it is a sign of his iman being affected to that degree. So a person should make sure none of these signs are found in him. What are these three signs? إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. When he speaks lies. Again, related to the tongue. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. When he makes a promise, he will break that promise. وَإِذَا أُمِنَ خَانَ. When you trust him, he will betray your trust. At times, this also is related to the tongue. You mention something to a person in confidence, and he's supposed to keep your secret, and he goes and he divulges the secret. Again, he betrays you. This does not have to be restricted to the tongue, but even this sign can relate to the tongue. Imam Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullah alayh, once had a business dealing with a person, Abdur Rabbi al-Qassab. He tells Imam Muhammad bin Sirin that I will go and buy your qurbani animals for you. And they make a time that we will meet in the morning at a certain time. And this person completely forgot. A few hours later, he remembers, I'm supposed to meet Muhammad bin Sirin at that place at that time. Now it's many hours later. He comes there, he finds Muhammad bin Sirin waiting for him. Imam Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, very, very great imam and very, very great tabi, student of Hazrat As bin Malik, radiallahu anhu. Imam Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, tells him that, oh my friend, sins that are smaller than this can be overlooked, but this sin of breaking your promise is a very, very grave sin indeed. In other words, it is something that today is taken for granted. People don't even think twice about it. You phone a person, you tell him that I need some work done. We're just giving a random example. It can be a plumber, it can be a tiler, it can be a carpenter, it can be an electrician, it can be anybody. I'm coming tomorrow. The man knows, come rain or shine, he's not coming tomorrow. He has a full schedule tomorrow. But it's called the greed of wealth. He does not want to say, I can't come, go use somebody else. He doesn't want to lose another customer. Don't worry, I'm coming. What time are you coming? I'm coming at 10 o'clock. The man avails himself at 10 o'clock, he's waiting, nobody coming. He's phoning, nobody answering the phone. Now he becomes frustrated. So much of taklif caused. At times he has to leave his workplace and come home to attend to the person's not there. Now the person is making excuses. Don't worry, I'll come tomorrow. And now he knows the art of stringing a customer. He'll come, he'll do half the work. Don't worry, I'll come tomorrow and finish the other half. Now you've committed with one person. You can't even call another person if you want to. He'll stretch you another 1 week. When are you coming? When are you coming? He won't answer the phone, going to voicemail, ducking and diving, causing so much of taklif. At the very first phone call, he should have told you, you know what, I've got a lot of customers at the moment. My schedule this week is tied up. If you want, I can come next week. Otherwise, please, my brother, feel free to contact somebody else. But you promised the man, I'm coming tomorrow. You promise the man, I'm coming in 1 hour. And people go through so much of taklif. This is not the behavior and conduct of a Muslim. You're making a promise, and you know you're not going to fulfill that promise. And why are you conducting like this, speaking lies, utter complete lies? Because you want money. In other words, a person is selling his dini and imani values just to get some money. My brothers, when you string a person and cause him taklif like that, even when you get that money, there will be no barakah in that money. Because that person is burning, that person went through so much of taklif, and now eventually, after so much of time, now only you saw him right. The second place where we fall short, my respected brothers, one is not keeping to our word when we make promises. The other is interjecting ourselves into other people's lives and making remarks and comments in their life that causes problems in their lives. We give one incident to illustrate what I'm saying. There was a very, very great tabi by the name of Abu Muslim Khawlani rahmatullah alayh. He was a tabi'i who, when that false prophet Aswad Anasi claimed that he is the Nabi of Allah, in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he called Abu Muslim Khawlani. He said, was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Rasul of Allah? He said, yes. Do you accept I am the Rasul of Allah? He said, I can't hear you. Aswad Anasi built, he ignited a large fire, he threw Abu Muslim Khawlani rahmatullah alayhi into the fire. The fire refused to burn him, just as had transpired with Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Aswad Anasi said, when this man is like a walking miracle, he'll cause all my followers to leave me. He kicked him out of the land and he came to Madina Munawara. When Abu Muslim Khawlani rahmatullah alayhi comes to Madina Munawara, he meets Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and they embrace him and they show him a lot of honor and respect. Abu Muslim Khawlani rahmatullah alayhi was leading a simple life. No frills and fancies. A simple, humble life. He was happy, his wife was happy. It is mentioned that when he would come home from the masjid, he would make salam from the door of the home and his wife would reply with the salam. As he would come into the home, his wife would come with a lot of love. She would take his shawl, she would lay the food down on the dastarkhan and they would eat together. One day he comes home, he makes salam and there's no reply. He comes in, there's no food ready. His wife is depressed and she's moping in one corner. He asks her, what is the matter? She says, you are quite friendly with the Khalifa, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. When he likes you and you're friendly with him, then why don't you get a servant from him? Why don't you get some money from him? At least we can raise our standard of living. He understands so many years we've been happy like this. What happened that suddenly you're complaining? He realized that some woman must have come and spoken to his wife and whispered this evil poison into her ears. Some woman came and drew comparisons. And remember, my respected brothers, comparison is the thief of contentment. As long as you are looking at people better than you, you'll never be happy with what you have. Always look at those beneath you in life. This is the recipe given in the Mubarak Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get that contentment of heart. Hazrat Abu Muslim Khawlani becomes so upset. He raises his hands. He says, may Allah blind that person who has blinded my wife. In other words, blinded my wife to what we are enjoying. May Allah Ta'ala blind that person. And that woman is in her home. Suddenly she loses her eyesight. And she realizes, I've made a big mistake. She gets her husband to bring her and they come to Abu Muslim Khawlani rahmatullahi's home. They ask for maafi. He makes dua, Allah Ta'ala restores her sight. I cannot tell you how many people have complained to me about this. Just in passing, my own friends and associates. One person I know, going through some financial difficulty, he had so much of debts to pay. Allah Ta'ala helped him, he paid out so much of his debts. But so long as he's busy paying debts, he's trying to live within his means. He cannot upgrade his car. He cannot go for holidays because he's owing people money. Allah Ta'ala help him. But look how this person is being so responsible. He's got the sense that I'm owing people money. I must live within my means. Now people come to tell his wife that everybody going for holiday. Why you people didn't go for holiday? And you people are still living in the same area for so many years. Why you people don't get a house? He tells me, he complains to me, he says, Mawlana, what business these people got to come and tell my wife all of this? They're rubbing salt into the wound. We have to make do with what we have. These people don't understand our situation. But they are so careless in their speech, they come and make these types of remarks to my wife, it causes her so much of taklif and pain in her heart. Why do these people not just restrain the tongue and speak what concerns them? We do not realize sometimes we make these types of comments, it causes friction in people's marriage because we are thoughtless. We are not restrained and controlled and careful when it comes to the use of the tongue. We utter these statements, we don't realize we went away. Now this man comes home after a long day of work. His wife is unhappy. The long-lasting ill effects of our statement are for so long. This is the type of statement Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned. A person utters something, he doesn't think twice of what he said, but he caused so much of harm and pain to people. Now this becomes a means of him going to Jahannam. We will conclude on the wise words of Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. What did he say? He said, remember, speech is silver, but silence is gold. So long as a person remains silent, he cannot be taken to task by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making the wrong statement and saying something out of turn. Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to control the tongue. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.